Amy and Christina, two moms who learned the hard way that there's a lot we wish we knew about pregnancy and parenting.
So now we're asking experts all the questions, sharing what we've learned and what we're still figuring out, and keeping it real along the way. Welcome to What I Wish I Knew.
Today we're joined by Erin Claire Jones, a human design guide, coach, and speaker. She's been featured in Forbes, Allure, and Vogue, just to name a few, and focuses on helping both individuals and companies step into their work and their lives as their truest selves and to their highest potential.
We'll get into what human design is and how it helps you understand yourself and your kids on a whole new level. So let's get started, shall we?
Erin, thank you so much for being with us today. I know a little bit about human design through Christina, who knows much more than I do. But I also, as most people probably would in this day and age, Googled it before this episode. So Google said, human design is a self-discovery system that combines ancient wisdom and modern science to help people understand their purpose in life. No big deal, just your purpose in life. So let's start off with that. Do you agree, disagree? What are your thoughts?
I'm curious Christina's thoughts as well. I would say that mostly right, of course. I think that like it is a self-awareness system. It's a mystical personality assessment. And it is based on those systems. I think where I would disagree is just like letting people know what their purpose in life is. Mostly because I think that like that's not what human design does. It doesn't, you know, we don't sit down and it's like, here's your purpose, go find it. I think the magic of human design is helping us understand our mechanics, helping us understand how we're wired to make decisions and structure our day-to-day and communicate effectively and leverage our strengths and navigate our challenges, all in a way that will align us with our purpose and help us discover it for ourselves. So I think it's more on how can we live in alignment with ourselves in every part of our lives, from parenting to work to relationships. And then I think our purpose emerges pretty organically from that. And also, like, some people, according to their design, like, aren't meant to have just one purpose. They're meant to have a million. And so, you know, that probably isn't going to work so well for them. Christina, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I totally agree. But also, I'm very heavily influenced by you, Erin, right? And the way that you teach. Well, it's true, because the reason that I love your teaching is that you approach human design that way. And it's not an absolute, right? Whereas, like, a horoscope, you know, they always like to say a Libra and a Gemini, they belong together. But the way that your perspective and then how I've learned from you is that anybody can be with anybody. Anybody can be anything as long as you tune into your human design.
The piece I was just going to add is that I think, you know, with systems like these, it's easy sometimes to feel limited by them, of like, oh my God, I'm a projector. Does that mean I can't do this? Or I'm a generator. Does that mean I can't partner with this person? And I just don't think that's the purpose of these systems. Like, I think it's meant to make our life easier, meant to help us find more flow. But human design is not meant to restrict what you can do for work, whether you can be a parent, who you can partner with. It just helps us know how we do those things best. So it's not meant to be limiting. It's more just how you can do it in a way that actually works for you and is sustainable.
From the outside, again, from knowing very little, it sounds like that the self-discovery part is like the key. The understanding, The more you understand, the more confidently you can move forward, or the more effectively you can do something, or is helping you to do things that are more, like you said, aligned to how you react and feel and behave and think and all of those types of things.
That's right. Yeah. And I think we spend a lot of our lives like looking at how someone else is doing things and thinking maybe, oh, that will work for us too. Like, they built a successful business. Can we emulate that? Or like, this is how they talk about parenting. Should I do it that way? And I think human design just reminds us that we are each wired so differently. And like, what works for them might not work for us. And so it helps us just get really acquainted with our own wiring so we can flow with it and not against it.
We definitely see that. So Amy and I have another friend that also had a baby around the same time, and we're all in a group chat together. And it's really funny to talk about certain topics, whether it's sleep or whether it's feeding, about how each of us tackle it differently. And all of those ways are correct, but it feels like a lot of times social media or the media tell us there's only one right way. And that can be really stifling and also anxiety. Like, there's so much anxiety around it.
Right. It also makes us feel like we're doing something wrong. You know, it's like, oh, we did it wrong because it didn't work for us. And it's like, well, maybe it was never meant to work for you. That was maybe not the way that you were going to show up and do this thing in a way that felt good.
And understanding why it didn't work for you too, because not just figuring out what works for you, obviously, like how should I be approaching this that feels good to me that will work. But I feel like to get rid of some of that blame or the should feeling, understanding why something wouldn't work for you is also powerful. Of like, this just doesn't resonate with me because of this, or this makes me feel a certain way and that's okay. Other people don't feel that way, but I do. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I need to do something different.
Yes, exactly.
So tell me again, Christina knows all of this, but for everyone listening and myself, can you talk a little bit about, like you've been referencing generators and manifestors, et cetera. Can you talk a little bit more about what those labels are, like kind of go into that a little bit so we can start off understanding that a little bit better?
Mm-hmm. So human design is a hyper-specific, hyper-personalized system. So it's, even though there are kind of these broad categories, which I'll talk about, just know that it drills down so much more from there. Like the fact that you two are projectors and I am as well doesn't actually mean we have similar designs. It's like, oh, we've got some similarities, some things, but like it just starts branching out. Just so you know, and like one of my offerings is kind of like a hyper-personalized guide to your design. And of the version we share, there are 400,000 possible guides of that design. And that does not even cover everything in your design. So just to kind of give you a sense of like how hyper-specific it is. So at the highest level in human design, the best place to start is with something called type. And there are 5 different types: manifesting generators, generators, projectors, reflectors, and manifestors. If you don't yet know your type and want to look it up, you can look it up at humandesignblueprint.com. But, you know, just to give you, do you want a kind of a quick description of each? Yeah. So generators and manifesting generators are often types that have a lot of energy to kind of build and create and make things happen. These are very kind of creative people. And when they're enthusiastic, like their energy lifts a room, like nothing beats being around a lit up generator or manifesting generator. Because of this, it's really important for them to just be very discerning about where they put their energy and be very healthily selfish. Like when they're personally fulfilled, it really is like the best thing they can do for everyone. These types tend to struggle with boundaries because they have so much capacity. People can want them to help with all kinds of things. So really being, again, like I said, discerning and selective about their commitments. And they're kind of meant to use up all their energy in a really satisfying way and kind of drop into bed delightfully spent. Generators are a little bit more kind of like focused, very steadfast, very masterful, very committed. Manifesting generators tend to be quite multi-passionate. They might find the most satisfaction moving their energy between many different things, having a very non-linear career path. They tend to move very quickly. And both of these types are very magnetic and are kind of meant to let life come to them and just see what sparks their gut response.
That's Anna to a T, Christina.
Yeah. Is that your third friend in the chat?
No, Christina's daughter.
Oh, that's your daughter.
My 5-year-old is a generator. And I was just telling Amy that it took 2 hours to get her to bed last night. And I was like, I had her kicking her legs. She ran around the house for 2 minutes. I was like, I was just trying to get her energy out. And Amy, whose oldest son is a manifester, which you'll get into, she's like, I need it to be calm for him. And I was like, not Anna. Not this generator, baby.
They've got to use it up, you know, and if they don't, it's impossible to go to bed. You know,
I love that phrase, falling into bed delightfully spent.
I know. I found that phrase from a coach named Devin Bandison. He once said it and I was like, oh my God, like that is generators and manifesting generators. But it is this beautiful feeling of like, I used my energy so well today. I left it all on the field and I feel really fulfilled. And often these types will know that they're off track if they get into bed and feel restless or if they feel spent, but in a way that doesn't feel fulfilling. Okay, then we've got projectors, which all 3 of us are projectors. Projectors are very natural leaders, guides, teachers. I see so many projector podcast hosts. They're very good at asking questions, very sensitive to other people's energy, and which makes them very natural leaders and guides. I think a big lesson for projectors is that we are not really here to be doing all the time and just like kind of maintaining consistent momentum. We might find that our energy more naturally ebbs and flows. So building in moments of space and pause and rest into our days, I know it's not always easy with lots of kiddos, but it's what makes us the best at what we do, you know? So really kind of taking rest when we can and allowing ourselves to be very unproductive is often what kind of allows the energy to come back and allows us to actually feel connected to our gifts. projectors tend to love systems like human design because projectors are so naturally wise about people. So having any system that just enhances that understanding is a plus. Very natural students really love kind of like learning and just diving deep into systems and understanding things on a deeper level. And as projectors, we're here to be invited into things. So often where we thrive is when somebody sees our gifts very clearly and invites us in to share them. So feeling really recognized and invited is often the thing that fuels us as projector and gives us so much energy to show up. How does that feel for the two of you?
I'm intrigued by the moments of rest because I've always considered myself a very type A person. Like, I'm very ambitious and detail oriented, and I don't really rest that often. But I can definitely tell when I feel like I need a break. I can tell when I feel overwhelmed, when I feel like I just need to step away. It doesn't happen super often, I would say, but it definitely happens. And it's like a conscious recognition of, okay, I need to stop. Like, this is not productive anymore, and I need to like do something else for a period of time.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kristen.
This is also coming though from the woman who has prioritized sleep with her children because she cannot. She's like, I need sleep. So like, she is very good at routines with her kids around going to bed, because she knows that for her and her husband, she needs her sleep. Also, Amy is very known to curl up with a good book as her kids nap for 2 hours.
That's true.
What is that like?
Yeah.
To curl up with a nice fantasy book. So I think, Amy, you do get your rest, but you might label it as something else.
That's true. The unproductive, like feeling being unproductive, is what I think I was reacting to, because that's one of the hardest things for me having babies. Like during the infancy stage, I can't stand like just like lying down and holding a baby. I'm like, I could be doing 10,000 other things. And sometimes especially with my first, I felt claustrophobic. I felt trapped when I was like nap trapped. I'm like, this is terrible. Much better with my second. I've leaned into it a lot more, and I feel like that's been much less of an issue. But yeah, I hate feeling unproductive.
Yeah. And I think one thing I would just say is that projectors tend to be very overzealous in general. Like, we just like often don't know when to stop. So we just keep going and going and going. And so I'm so susceptible to this. But I think the unproductive piece, why I share that, is because often what we do as projectors, when we have any moment of rest, we try to make it productive. It's like, what can we do? Like, what podcast can we listen to? What can we clean around the house? Like, it's just like there's this need to like always be productive. So it's just like a real moment of, I would say, like, deconditioning the way that we have been operating in the past to be like, it's okay to not be productive. And for me, like, reading fiction and like curling up on my couch is like the ultimate expression of that. You know, like, I'm just trying to like take care of myself and do something that feels really nourishing for a moment.
I want to ask you a question about imposter syndrome and projectors,
mm-hmm.
because I feel that. So I, outside of what I wish I knew, which is kind of like our side hustle, I own my own consulting business. And a lot of times when I am busy, I find that I have more imposter syndrome around accomplishing things. But when I slow down, as I've slowed down lately, I feel more confident, if that makes sense.
What is the narrative when things get busy for you?
I feel like I'm just executing, and it's like, nobody's listening to me. Like, nobody is taking me as the expert that I am. Right. Or like, I'm not getting the recognition when I'm busy, I guess.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think part of why recognition is so important for us as projectors is it kind of ensures that we're not purely in an executor role, where it feels like somebody's like, I want your perspective, I see it, I want to act on it. But if you're in a position where you're like, I'm just executing and making things happen, and I don't actually feel valued for my true gifts, like, it's just not going to be as sustainable, you know? Because the thing is, like, being busy is not bad. So it feels like hearing you talk, it's more that the busyness is not like an exciting busy. It's more like, oh, I've actually kind of like, I'm no longer really fully in my gifts, and therefore it's not as sustainable.
Totally. And also, just to tie that up, I used to think that like my love language was quality time, but I'm learning as I learn more about myself that I think it's actually words of affirmation, especially like as a mom, right? Like, I had to tell my husband, like, you know, my daughter had RSV. We were in the hospital for 5 days, and I pulled lots of long nights. And I told my husband, I was like, I need to be recognized for that. I need you to say, like, thank you for doing that. Or like, thank you for pulling nights so I could sleep. I know that it's silly or it might sound silly, but like if I don't hear it, I get like really angry.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that. It's like, and you know, one of the most useful tools human design can offer us is helping us know how to support the people in our life, specifically our partners, because projectors often do really need words of affirmation. And not just like you're a great mom, but more like very specific acknowledgement of the things that you're doing. Or I want your perspective on this, or I like really appreciate the specific way you did this. And so that's often the thing that is just so important for us as projectors in our relationships. Okay, then we've got manifestors. Did I hear that one of you has a manifestor son?
My son, yeah.
Okay. So many manifestor kiddos these days. I have a manifestor, my almost five-month-old is a manifestor, and like all my friends who gave birth at that time, like all had manifestor kiddos. So manifestors are very disruptive, innovative people. Like they're just like meant to be very powerful, here to kind of follow their own path, not really meant to like subscribe to anyone else's way of doing things. Like one of their gifts is like bringing newness into the world. These are people that just like to feel free to do what they want, when they want, to feel autonomous and in control. I want to acknowledge that as a parent of a manifestor, like probably hard for them to like be totally in control as a kid. Like you're going to have to set boundaries. But I think one thing I often advise parents of manifestors is just like create boundaries that they can like play within, like having a day where like they can be totally in charge, but like where they can still feel that autonomy, but also obviously within a really safe way. Their energy is very bursty. Like they're like can be really energized and excited and then need to pull away and be alone. So it's not meant to be sustained. So really honoring their need for time alone is really important. And I would also say like building a really healthy communication dynamic with manifestors is very important, because like they can just like go off and do their thing and not let people know, and that can create a sense of distance, or they can feel controlled. So just building a healthy dynamic where like they're just keeping people in the loop and you're keeping them in the loop, and they can kind of choose when to participate in things. Does that make sense? For you as
a lot of that tracks. He's yeah. Extremely autonomous, like independent play. He would play for hours by himself, and he is definitely, he's bossy. I mean, he likes things his way.
Totally.
And what's interesting is that we've always tried to parent him in a way where we set, exactly like you just described, we set like the framework boundaries for health and happiness and safety and what needs to happen. And then we don't really care what happens within those boundaries. Like, I don't care if you're building that thing wrong. As long as you're not throwing those blocks, like, cool, do with them what you want. I don't care totally. If you're using them the way they're supposed to be used. Even how we approach eating. It's like food stays at the table. Your body doesn't have to. Like, you know, we try to engage him with the food, but the more we try to be like, eat this, try this, eat this, taste that, don't do that, sit still. It's never going to work with him. But when you do give him the freedom to make decisions himself and to do what he really wants to do within those confines of the boundaries we've set, he's a great kid. Like he's a pretty easy kid.
Yeah. And it's just a good reminder that like, and you know, around parenting, like it's just such a cool tool to help us know how to support kids, because it's easy to be like, oh, like I want you to do things a certain way, but it's like, that's just not going to work for him. And so when you give him the freedom, it actually, he can thrive. You know, so there are just like such small ways that we can really support kids in being really different than we are.
And how are you seeing the manifestor qualities come out in your 4-month-old?
You know, I think that like our manifesting generator, my 2-year-old's a manifesting generator, and like she was just like so hilarious from like 2 months old. She was just like cackling and giggling all the time. And like, I like don't want to say our manifestor is more serious, but like there is this intensity. Like she gives us so many smiles, but it's very specific, only to specific people. One of the ways that I saw it come out really early is like she started rolling at 2 months old because she was just like didn't want to be in her swaddle, like, and she just kind of like broke out of it so quickly. And I just thought it was hilarious because like, one, she was very much like, I'm gonna be the first, but two, like she wanted to be free, you know. And I remember talking to my pediatrician, I was like, they're not supposed to sleep on their belly, like she's 2 months old. They're like, you cannot control her. Like I would just like go in at night and like try to flip her back over, and then she'd flip back over, and I was like, this is like, I'm losing this battle. So like I guess what I'm seeing right now is like she's just very specific about what she wants, who she wants to be with, and she really does want to be free, and she wants to physically like move. Like my manifesting generator kid, like she like took her time moving, but she was so fast to just like talk. Like she just wanted to talk about everything and like was so verbal. And I think what I'm seeing with this our 4-month-old is like, she just is very physical. She wants to be free. She wants to be like, you just see her doing these things that we just didn't see with our other one. So anyways, it's fun to see. The final type is reflector, the rarest type. These are people that are just very sensitive to their physical space. They're always kind of taking in and magnifying the energy that they're around. And so it's so important for reflectors to be in spaces and around people that really feel good to them, because that kind of brings out their best. These people are very fluid people. I think to kind of the purpose question earlier, they're meant to have so many purposes over the course of their lives. And where they can get the most off track is when they're trying to find a singular purpose, like put themselves into one identity, because they're just meant to express themselves in many ways and be very vast. And they just see, sense, and feel things that most people miss. And so they really thrive in positions where they're really appreciated for their perspective, like projectors, and really invited in to share it. We kind of call them evaluators, because they can really assess what's not working and how things could be made better.
Christina, do we know any reflectors?
We don't. They're so rare. I've come across one. Her name is Bangs. She was a spin instructor at the spin studio I worked for in London. And I've watched her go through so many different iterations of herself. It's been really fun to watch. But no, outside of that, I've never met another reflector.
You definitely know them. You just don't know their reflectors.
Probably that might be it.
They're somewhere in your world. I mean, there's one out of, they're 1%.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very rare.
Erin, I want to zoom out a little bit because we've kind of already gone into types. But what do you think about how human design and parenting can go hand in hand and help parents out? Because, you know, it's hard, right? Nobody gives you a manual when you have a baby, and everybody has a similar, like same but different journey when it comes to both pregnancy and parenting. But what do you see, especially in your experience, that human design has really helped you as a parent?
Well, I think, you know, there are two pieces. I think human design can be applied to every part of our lives, but I think probably one of the most potent ones, according to the founder of human design, was parenting. You know, he always said, he's no longer alive, his name is Ra, but he always said that, you know, parenting is like how we can actually influence kids in the most positive way from a young age. And what I mean by that is often kids express their human design so purely when they're young. That's why you're recognizing your manifestor son or your manifesting generator daughter. And then as they get older, we kind of get conditioned and think we're supposed to be something else. And so we often like just try to kind of like shut that stuff down. And then later in life, we kind of like wake back up to it. It's like, oh, wait, this is actually what feels good. But I think when you're really giving your kids permission to be who they are from day one, you know, that you're not trying to control your manifestor son, or you're not trying to like shut down all this like enthusiasm or zest in your manifesting generator daughter. Like, it's just like obviously incredibly healthy for them to feel free to be themselves. So I think it gives us so many tools to know how to uniquely support our kids and not expect them to be similar to each other or anything like us. And I think that's another piece, is that it's really easy to be like, oh, this is the way I operate. This is probably the way they operate. And I think for me, like, I'm a projector. I have a manifesting generator daughter and a manifestor daughter. Like, these are two people that have incredibly different designs than mine. So like, I'm entering into this experience with no expectation that they'll be like me. I also think the other part of how it's helpful is helping us understand our own designs and how we can honor that as mothers and fathers and as parents. Like, I think as a projector, we do really need time alone. We need space, and like, we don't always take it. But I know for me, that's meant that I've given myself permission from a very early, you know, with my first daughter, like taking moments to myself when I need it, like letting my husband know, like leaving the house alone, like just like these things that feel really meaningful and small, but important. And I feel like it's also made me realize that like, I'm not the best mother when I'm just like trying to be present all the time and just like trying to have energy all the time. Like, it's just letting myself rest and letting myself take a moment away, and knowing that doesn't make me a bad parent, but just means that I'm more resource when I do show up. And I know from a very early stage with my kids, like, I ask for a lot of help. You know, it's like, we do have help in the house, but also like when I'm just like totally burnt out, like I'll text a neighbor and be like, please help. You know, like, I'm just like, I can't, I'm just need help, you know? And so I think that I just know that this is, I need help. That's how I'm best as a mother and as a parent. So I think it helps us in so many ways that benefits both the kid and the parent.
Definitely. And I also think, you know, knowing that I was a projector coming into my second pregnancy, I prepped a community beforehand in a way that I didn't the first time around. And it's been so helpful to have that support, but then also to be that support for other people as well, right? Because I knew that, like, you know, I think I sent like gift boxes to Amy. I was like, here, take some snacks. I know that you're going to need it. I sent it to our other friends, you know, because it's like, we need community as mothers, as parents, because we were never meant to do it all by ourselves. I'm never going to have endless energy to play with my kids, and I know it, right? I know that I'm not meant to be a stay-at-home mom as much as I love my children, like, and as hard as it, I, like, cried the other day, like, writing the child care development center for my baby to go in. I was like, I'm not ready, but I need space. Like, it's hard to have these two emotions at the same time. And I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm just saying that human design has helped me at least understand that as hard as it might be, like, I'm not that parent, or I'm not the parent that people are telling me, quote unquote, I should be, right? Because I know myself and also what's best for my kiddos. I know that my generator daughter needs to go to school to be with kids, to play, to release that energy, to, like, you know, be with other people, and then I can be better when she's at home and we can cuddle and cook and do the things that I'm good at.
Yep. 100%.
Amy, how does that show up for you?
Well, I mean, I guess coming from a perspective where I don't know that much about human design with my family, I definitely see a lot of these characteristics, but also I'm very familiar with the five love languages, for example. And to me, it does make a lot of sense with the personalities of my family, because my husband is 100% acts of service. And so I could see how that aligns. I don't even know what his human design is, actually. We should look that up. But
he's a manifesting generator. I've stalked your whole family.
Oh, perfect. Manifesting generator. Because he's very introverted, but he can turn it on when he needs to. And to him, he feels appreciated when you show him that, when you do something for him. And so he does that for me, except I'm not acts of service. I'm words of affirmation. So he, you know, I made you a coffee. Like, I pumped up your bike tires. I, like, you know, did X, Y, and Z. And, you know, so I try to appreciate those things and say thank you and know what he intends by doing them. And also, I try to communicate what I need from him of, like, you know, I love when you, like, give me a compliment. I love when you tell me that I did a great job on something, you know. And sometimes I have to solicit that, but it doesn't make it less authentic.
Of course. Yeah, and I think that's the magic of human design, is it often doesn't tell us anything new. It just kind of, like, gives us language for things we've always felt. And, like, I am curious. I think I did a, like, love language survey a while ago. But, like, I do find a lot of generators and manifesting generators love acts of service. You know, whereas, like, projectors love words of affirmation. It's obviously not going to be, like, a perfect, you know, correlation. But I do find that, like, it is helpful just in those moments to be like, oh, I need something different than you. And I think to, like, Christina's example, like, I was in the hospital with my kid with RSV. Like, I needed acknowledgement of, like, how tough and hard that was and how much I showed up for that, you know? So it is just so useful, I think, as parents with our kids to just, like, understand what kids need. I work with a lot of parents of projector kids, and, like, a really important tool is, like, specific acknowledgement, you know, where, again, it's like, God, I love the way you showed up for your sister. I love the way you did this, because often as projectors, like, we want to be seen. And so if we don't feel seen, we're going to seek it out. And, like, that's not going to feel good. And it's not going to feel good for somebody else. And so just, like, finding ways to make them feel really recognized, really inviting in their presence can be so beneficial.
You know, what's so interesting as you were just saying that, I don't know yet how Miller, my son, feels the most validated yet. I mean, I'm still learning that, but because I'm words of affirmation, I'm a projector, I give him a lot of compliments, or I recognize when he does something, or I will just say, like, at any moment, I try to take the opportunity, and he does the same back to me now, because I think he gets it from me. And so he thinks, like, oh, that's what I should do back. So he'll just out of nowhere, we'll be sitting at dinner last night, and he just looks at me, he goes, Mommy, you're so pretty. And I'm like, thank you. Oh my God. Unsolicited. And it's like, because all the time I'm like, I think you're so funny. Or, like, how did you think to do that? That's the coolest castle I've ever seen. Or, you know, you're just the cutest little boy I've ever seen. You know, just whenever I feel an authentic moment, I do that. And so he started to do that back. Or he'll say, you know, you're my best friend. Or he'll say, I love when you cuddle me. Mm. Or I never want to stop cuddling you. Like, he says it back to me. And I have no idea if he's doing that because he can see that it makes me feel good, or if because it makes him feel good when I do it. Yeah. You know, still learning that. But it's just interesting. I didn't actually, like, sort of identify that behavior until just now.
Isn't it fun that Miller is so cute? And my daughter told me she was going to put me in the trash.
Anna's too much. She's hysterical. Her insults are honestly next level.
It's true. Remind me how old your son is.
My son is 4.
4. Okay. And how old is your daughter?
Anna is 5.
5, you said. Yeah.
5. Yeah. She's man. She's spicy.
So is my manifesting generator daughter. I was like, this used to be so easy. And now I'm, anyways. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've covered like a little bit of the specifics, but are there any common themes? Like, you have lots of clients that you've dealt with over the years. Like, when it comes to parenting, are there any common themes that you've found or examples you maybe would like to give that are coming from your upcoming book?
Yeah. So I think that, like, you know, and I do talk about parenting in the book because it's so relevant, you know, and I think the point of the book is how human design can actually be used in our lives, whether it's relationships, career, parenting. I think one thing that I often see with manifesting generators and generators is, as parents, they don't really feel like a lot of permission to kind of pursue the things that like light them up or excite them on the side. There's a lot of guilt around it. I tell a story in the book of a woman who was a mother of 4 or 5. And I remember when I got to her, like, you know, she'd been a parent for years and she just felt so much guilt because she really wanted to kind of go pursue her professional gifts again and like kind of pursue these creative passions on the side. But she really didn't want that to take her away from her kids. And I remember she hired part-time help and all of a sudden, like, she found she had so much more energy, you know, and was bringing all this energy home, and her kids were like lighter and brighter and happier. And like, it was just such a lesson of like her being personally fulfilled was such a benefit to everybody. And so I think a lot of generators and manifesting generators often feel guilt around that when it's like the best thing they can do for their kids. You know, I think what I see the story tell with in my book around manifestor parents is like, they're often like need permission to kind of just do things their own way. And it's not really what others are doing. And I've just had a lot of clients that are like, oh, like, this is how I'm supposed to do it, but it doesn't feel right. So kind of feeling the permission to just like walk their own path and have partners really support them in that. We've talked a lot about the projector, you know, parents, but I think that I tell a story of a mother who just felt a lot of guilt for wanting space from her kids. And so it wasn't even to like pursue her passions necessarily, but just like, I think to what you're saying, Christina, like, I just need a moment alone on the bathroom floor by myself in my own energy. And like, nothing's wrong with my child. It's just like, I need to like recharge. Like, projectors are so sensitive and having that space to themselves is so important. And then I think with the reflector parent, this story is around, you know, because they're so sensitive to space, it's important for like reflector children to be in spaces that feel good, but also for reflector parents to kind of take their kids to spaces they enjoy. You know, cafes they enjoy, parks they enjoy, like gymnastics classes they enjoy being in, because they're going to take that all in as well. So yeah, I just think it gives us so much permission as parents to kind of do it in a way that feels more sustainable for us. And then it also gives us so many tools to know how to support kids very uniquely in a way that works for them.
I'm curious if someone was interested in human design, like, what next?
Totally. So the first piece is look yours up. You need your time, date, and place of birth. Maybe we never even said that. It's based on your birth information. So you can look your design up at humandesignblueprint.com. It is, I will say, when you look it up, you're going to see a chart and it's going to look confusing and like just a little bit weird, like lines and shapes. You don't need to understand the chart. It's not a thing that needs to be understood. But most importantly, I would say look at your type, your strategy, and your authority. We have an option on our website to upgrade, and that basically means you can start reading about your design. And in a very real life way, it's like, okay, what does my type mean? What does that look like in practice? What are some challenges I'm going to face? Like, what are some journal prompts to kind of reflect on it? So I would just kind of start to dive in that way, because it helps you really start to reflect on how it's showing up in your life, whether you resonate with it, how you could align more with it if you want to. I have a book coming out in May. I know you guys know this, but I think part of why I wrote the book is I think most people that I talk to don't want to learn human design. They want to actually know how they can use it to live their best life, whether it's in their career or relationships. Like, you might not want to be like, I want to like learn all the gates like Christina, but like, yeah, I would like to know how it could help me be a better parent and better partner and like find more flow in my work. And so the book is really for that. The book is around how human design can actually be applied to our relationships and career. And it's full of so many stories and anecdotes and journal prompts and practical tips. So if you're like, I really want to know how to apply it, that's also a really good place to do it. So if you resonate with my approach, kind of upgrading your chart and also getting the book is a really great place to start. you know? And I think that, like, I just think that human design can actually be so transformative in our lives. It has been in my own. And so I think helping people actually cross that chasm to, like, what do I do with this, to actually, how do I use it, I think is more important to me. And it was so interesting when I was thinking about the book I wanted to write, because there are a lot of cool human design textbooks out there, Christina, I'm sure you've read some of them. And like, but I just like didn't need to do that. You know what I mean? I was like, I want this book to be like, your husband feels stuck in his job. He's not into woo-woo systems at all. And he's like, let me just pick it up and see what it says. You know what I mean? And like, or like, I'm struggling with my daughter. Let me just like pick it up and see what it says. Because I think it's like, I think that's where it can be really useful in a way that we haven't totally tapped into yet. Whether or not people even resonate with human design. So, and I think also the last piece I'll add there is like, I've studied human design for a long time now, and I've read a lot of books and I've taken a lot of courses. And I think my most meaningful learning has come from sitting with almost 4,000 people in private sessions and actually learning, like, how does human design show up for you in your life? How is it affecting these different things? And I think those stories, I think, are now what have shaped my education more than anything else, because I'm actually like watching, how are projectors showing up? How are manifesting generators showing up? And so I just think that's actually way more interesting than the textbooks now.
Totally. What is, we have asked every guest who's been on this question, what's something that you wish you knew about parenting?
Yeah. Two things come up. I think one is that like I had a lot of ideas before I became a mom. I was like, okay, this is how I'm going to want to work. And like, we're going to need this kind of childcare and like, blah, blah, blah. And like, I think one thing I wish I knew is like, I have no idea how I'm going to feel until the moment actually arrives, and it's going to keep changing. There are just moments where I'm like, I need so much support. I like do this thing. And the moments where I'm like, God, it like it, I like don't want any, you know, like I just like go through so many waves of like what I want and what I desire. And, you know, I thought I'd never do this, and then I want to do this or whatever. It just like keeps changing. And my daughters keep changing. Like even an example this week is like, you know, we've had a nanny in our home for a couple of years, which has been really wonderful. And like, and we work from home, and like being in my home with my daughter and being able to like get her from her nap and put her down and just like be less productive, but also present throughout the day has been really, really nice. And then like this week I was just like, my daughter's two, and like getting anything done is almost impossible, you know, cause she's just like blasting into my room. And like, and my nanny's like, it's easier when you leave. And I was like, I'm going to leave the house. I'm going to like go work from a coffee shop. And like, I didn't want to do that a year ago, and now I really want to do that, you know? So like even moments like that of being like, we are in a different place. What she needs is different. And like me having a little bit of space is better because she wants to. Anyway, so that's one example. I think the other thing that comes up for me is like, and I can't say I didn't do this, but like parenthood just changes us. And I remember listening to a podcast with Ryan Holiday and Jay Shetty a year ago, and he was like, when we try to resist it changing us, life becomes really hard. If we try to maintain our old life, it's going to be impossible. Like it's a losing battle. And so I think it's just, I feel like I'm like increasingly in a place where I'm like, I don't need the remnants of my old life. Like, how can I just like let it keep changing me? Because this is such a precious like moment in time. And like, I just have to like keep letting it change who I am as a person. Like what I want with work is different. How I'm showing up as a partner is different. My community is different. And like, just not trying to hold on to old ways, because like, they just don't make sense in my current life with two young kids. And so I think I just want to kind of keep allowing that to guide the way that I parent, because it's just, I keep changing and my life keeps changing, and that's okay.
There's also such a mindset shift, I'm sure. Did you see that from your first to your second? Like, I remember having my first and being like, oh my God, this is never going to end. Like, I'm never going to get sleep again. And now with my second, I'm like, I'm happy to have this moment at 4 a.m. with you.
Like, such a moment in time. Right? I
like,
know.
I feel more mushy-gushy this time than I did the first time. The first time I was like, get me through this.
Right? Because you know.
Do you ever have any moments? Huh?
Because you know that it's going to end.
Right.
Even if you know, like, mentally, you're like, yes, I know my child is going to grow up. Eventually they will sleep again, or whatever the issue is you're having. They will eat better. They will be able to communicate with me, and I'll feel more connected to them. Even when you know that in your heart, it's hard to understand what that means unless you've done it before. And once you've gone through a kid and you know what to expect and how you're going to change and how you might change differently this time, it is so much easier to appreciate. Doesn't make it easier, but it makes it easier to appreciate the season that you're in, because you really do know you'll never be there again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is definitely such a different thing to just know that like it's all just for a moment. you know, and like it does make you appreciate it. Yeah, I do. I also feel like there's so much less anxiety for me. Like I remember I like took my daughter on like a retreat with me when she was a month old. I was like, why not? Like if it doesn't work, I'll leave. You know what I mean? Like I think that the first time I would have been like, are you crazy? Like, but it just feels like I'm way more willing to test boundaries and try things because like I just know that like I can just change course and pivot when I need to.
So the last question is, where can people find you? I know you've mentioned it a couple times, but let's just hammer it home.
Yeah. Our website is humandesignblueprint.com. The book, when this is released, should just be out. So we'll put the link there. It's called How Do You Choose? And then I'm on Instagram at Erin Clara Jones and Human Design Blueprint.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I learned a lot. So much. Good. I have many more questions, but it was fantastic to speak with you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
If you found something helpful, insightful, or just plain reassuring in this episode, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next one. And if you have a moment, leaving a quick review helps more parents find us.
We're also always looking for great guests. So if you know someone or that someone is you, please reach out. You can find us at whatiwishiknew_ or whatiwishiknew.life.
Thanks for listening. And until next time, stay sane, stay calm, or at least fake it until bedtime.